And we are back with the Kickback Pod episode 80. And it is our August episode. And first of all, I want to start off by saying I know we did not do a July episode. So apologize for that, guys. We were just extremely, extremely busy. At least I was in the month of July. I had my family over. I was doing a lot of traveling. It was just tough to find time for the episode. But nothing to worry about, because very excited to do this week's episode. We're going to be talking about, I would say, like a think piece type of topic today, which is just something that we've been noticing, which is that there's just no more hype sneakers that seem to dominate the conversation every week that we were kind of used to seeing maybe a few years ago. And whether if that's a bad thing or a good thing, we have some opinions on that. But yeah, it's a great topic and we're excited to get into it. But before we do that, my man Fobs is right here. How you doing, bro? How's summer been? We're already in August now.
Yes, I mean, you said it, we didn't have an episode in July, and I'd probably blame it on the weather, man, because it's been pretty terrible. You know, I mean, I guess it could have gone both ways, right? Like, if the weather was amazing, we could argue that, you know, we were too busy being outside. But I think we were just too busy being depressed and avoiding Berlin and the rain and everything else, because it was really, really, really bad.
I think, yeah, we were talking earlier. I think it was the worst July we've ever witnessed in Berlin.
I mean, the worst July I've ever witnessed in a country that doesn't have monsoon season.
Yeah, yeah. It was literally raining and just dark every day. It was honestly depressing, guys.
I mean, it was good for nature, for sure. Like, my plants on the balcony are thriving. Like, it's a jungle out there. But for doing anything, you know, and the thing is, if it's like 25 degrees and it rains all the time, whatever, because you can at least go out, you can, you know, if you get wet, it's whatever. But when it's like 16, 17 degrees, it was cold. And so I would say, with that being the context, I'm doing very, very well because the weather has picked up. We are actually having a nice August, fingers crossed, knock on wood multiple times, because who knows? And August means the Premier League is back soon.
I was just going to say that. Yes. I'm getting really, really excited. Next week, Premier League starts.
Oh, so excited.
I'm not excited at all, to be honest, as a Spurs fan, because I've not been too happy with how the Spurs offseason has gone so far. It's not really exciting me for the season. But if I was a Man U fan, I would be.
Yes.
If I was an Arsenal fan, I would be, as much as I hate to say that. A lot of teams seem to be very, they look great going into the season.
Listen, so Spurs have had a pretty bad summer, but Newcastle has had an even worse summer.
Oh, my God.
I mean, they've been rejected by everyone. And I know they have a few signings lined up, and maybe by the time this episode goes live, they'll have wrapped up a couple. But my goodness, like, every single person they went for was just snapped up by another team.
Yep.
And...
but they still have Isak, though. They haven't lost him officially.
Well, yeah, because they can't sell him until they buy replacements.
Oh, right, of course, yeah.
The thing is, if you sell him and then you have to buy a replacement, everybody's going to want $100 million because they know you have the money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you buy a couple players with the line that, like, nah, we're buying them complimentary to Isak, then you are probably still going to pay market value, right, which is high for strikers, but you're not going to be paying an insane amount. I mean, Newcastle, I would hate to be a Newcastle fan right now, but let's talk about Man United, because we have...
You've been dying to talk about Man United.
Yes, that's why I'm not wearing my United kit today. I'm wearing my 2006...
which is fire, by the way. You guys, if you guys can see it on camera, he's got the vintage early 2000s Real Madrid kit.
The best thing about this is I picked it up for €5 on Danziger Straße.
What?
Like... 6-7 years ago, before the whole vintage football hype was
that's
happening.
Crazy.
Literally €5 I paid for it.
And now Adidas is like retroing them for like 100-something euros.
Dude, and this one, if you wanted to buy this kit from like classic football shirts or whatever, you'd be paying €100 or £100 or whatever. Now, but United is doing really, really well. We've got Cunha, we've got Mbumo, whose name is always super hard to pronounce.
He's looking really good in the preseason.
He's good. He's good. The beard, the bald head, man, there's power in that beard for sure. Also, I was reading statistically the closest player to Salah, outside of Salah, right?
Yes.
Just in terms of play style and also impact. And then obviously the big man up top, Šeško.
Mm-hmm.
you know, expensive market rate at the moment for strikers, especially young strikers, expensive. Let's see if it pays off. It could easily also be a flop in a couple of years, but he does look pretty good. He has scored the most goals out of all under 23 players in the top five leagues the last 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, he looks good. Yeah, I think they paid what any other team would have paid right now. Right?
Yeah, yeah. They paid less than Newcastle was offering, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they paid him less than Newcastle was offering him, too.
I'm still wondering where they're getting all this money from, because there were all these reports about how Man U was too broke to afford sandwiches and soup for their players or something like that. Like, where did they get all this money this transfer window from?
They have a revolving credit facility that they can borrow from.
It's not fair, man.
But also, I think they downplayed, like, the cash reserves they have and everything. Yeah, Premier League starts a week away. Super, super excited. It's going to be a good one.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait. Can't wait. Also, shout out to the Blue Jays, by the way. We are in the middle of baseball season, and they're currently the first place team in the entire American League. So I'm definitely very much, like, baseball focused right now. Definitely we're getting into that part of the year where all the sports leagues are starting to come back. NFL is starting soon. So as a sports nut, like, I'm totally excited right now. So,
nice.
It's looking good. Let's get into, why the people are here. They're here to hear about sneakers. So, let's talk a little bit about what we've been wearing maybe in the last month. I'll start off. So, I recently visited, my parents were here in the month of July, which was really nice. When they visited, they were here for Berlin in a week. Sorry, they were in Berlin for a week. And then we visited Budapest for a weekend, 4 days in total. And I only took one pair of shoes with me, which was the Jound, the brand new Jound Gel Quantum 360 AMP, the all white one. And honestly, as a travel shoe, it's amazing. It's super, so super comfy.
So soft too.
Yeah, it's like, and it, like, you can really feel, I would say, the difference in comfort between that and like some other ASICS shoes.
Yeah.
The entire midsole is just all gel.
It's pure gel. It's like comparing for Air Max, right? It's like comparing an Air Max 1 to a Vapor Max.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah, and the only challenge with that shoe, of course, is that how do you keep that shoe clean? Because it's just completely white and it's mesh, and I tried my best, but it looks a bit worn down after just a few wears, but I kind of expected that. But honestly, like, for a Jound shoe, it is what it is. It's like a very minimalistic, just all over white, but I think on this model, the white and the cream just looks so nice. And I've been using that shoe a lot. Not only is it so comfy, it also, because it's white, it goes with literally anything. So it's been one of my absolute go-to summer sneakers recently. One of my pickups from a few months ago, I finally started wearing them, the Matcha SB Dunks, the Yuto Haragome, the second one. And those look fire too, especially with the pink laces. You throw those pink laces on, an unexpected combo, but it looks really amazing, I think, on feet. And I've been looking at my older pairs that I haven't been wearing in a while. And one of the sneakers that I've been recently giving a lot of love to has been the Sakai Vapor Waffles, the black and white one. I still think, even today, it still looks absolutely fire. Like, it still looks so fashion forward. You throw those on. I got these, like, very baggy pants from Cause, like these super wide-fitting green pants. And I feel like there's no shoe in my whole collection that looks as good with these pants as the Vapor Waffle. It's been great. And they're so comfy too. So that's kind of been what's in my rotation lately. What about you, man?
So I've been wearing my SNS Adidas GT2s.
The green ones.
The green ones with the pink stripes. I'm wearing them right now, actually, but I will spare you the sight of them because I've worn them quite a lot also on playgrounds and stuff. They're super sandy, but just a great summer shoe, right? Like, low profile terrace sneakers, still in, still cool, kind of also like timeless in a way. But then SNS puts that really nice like colorway touch to it, so I've been wearing those a lot. I've been rotating through all of my Solomons as well. Like just the triple white XT6s. I've been wearing the hidden XT4s, which I really think are underrated a little bit and also kind of forgotten, you know. You don't really see them
because they were actually one of the most limited hidden pairs, I think.
I remember getting them and buying them from Hidden Direct or something, and it was just like, oh, the shipping, and then like you put the tax on and or like the import tax and stuff like that, the duties. It was an expensive shoe, let's just put it like that. But Solomon's, man, like I've been really digging them, and the thing is they look really good when they're a little bit scuffed up and beat up as well, you know, because they are that kind of like outdoorsy, obviously trail running capable, and you know, based off of like an OG trail running shoe. And then last but not least, I've been wearing my Gel NYCs, the Awake collab.
Oh yeah,
the pink and green ones.
Have you seen that recent like GR pair of the Gel NYC? It's got like pink, and then the gel pods are like a very dark pink.
No.
And that
looks similar.
It looks very similar, and also it's completely sold out. Like every time it restocks, it flies off the shelf. I mean, Gel NYC is still very popular.
It's a good shoe. It's comfortable too. I'd say it heavily depends on the colorway too, right? Like there's some colorways that just look really, really great on it, and then there's others that, you know, aren't so great. And I think that's due to having this kind of like retro upper and then more like sporty, modern midsole sole unit. Yeah. But yeah, great shoe. Just kind of rotating through different brands, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. That kind of goes with the theme for today, actually.
Yes.
Speaking of Solomons, I forgot to mention this pair that I've been wearing a lot in the month of July. It was just like we said, raining the whole month. And another pair that I was rocking a lot was my Gore-Tex Solomon XT6, which is the only waterproof pairs of shoes that I own. Actually, I need more Gore-Tex pairs, but that one has been getting a lot of use, and it looks like it's covered in mud by this point.
Yeah,
it's just so dirty. but yeah, that's been one of my key go-tos lately.
The Jowns that are coming out soon are also looking very, very nice.
Those came out already, right? They came out last week. Yeah, which one did you like better?
The black one.
You like the black one?
The red detailing?
Yeah, those are clean. But I actually really liked the X-Men or the Lidl looking colorway.
Yeah.
Because it was like, for me, so unusual for Jound to put out so a colorway like that, right?
It reminded me like Lidl, but like also like NASCAR.
For sure, some NASCAR vibes. Yeah. And because like, they're the brand known about minimalism, and like you never see them putting out these super loud colorways, which I thought was cool. And those sold out instantly too. I tried to cop them, but damn. Yeah, we'll see if there's a wider release. And okay, so as far as latest pickups, right? So I got one right here that I wanted you to have a look at. This right here is the SB Air Max 95s. And actually, I want to hear your thoughts on them.
I mean, sick colorway, huh?
So Nike has been trying to, you know, SB-fy a lot of shoes, right? They had the Jordan 4s, now the Air Max 95s. And shout out to Eddie Wynn. I think he's a listener of the pod. Shout out to Eddie Wynn. I saw him skating in these. He put out a video of these on his Instagram, and he was skating in them, and I asked him for some feedback. And from what he said, he was very surprised by the durability of these shoes, considering what he put them through during that skate session. Mm-hmm. None of the threading seemed to have come off, and it's very comfortable. The only negative feedback he said was because the shoe is, you know, the midsole is quite big.
Yeah.
It doesn't give you that feeling that skateboarders want, which is, you know, that board feel. So it feels like you're a bit more elevated. So he said like it's gonna likely lead to a lot of people probably rolling their ankles over.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe one thing Nike didn't take into account when deciding to SB-fy this shoe. But for me, like, I really like the shoe mainly because, like, like you said, it's a really, really nice colorway, and the suede on it is very nice. Like, I like whenever Air Max 95s have all over suede, and of course, as usual, the colors, you know, fading from dark to light, and it's just such a nice shoe to look at. I threw these on feet, wore them with a pair of like denim shorts. And they just looked so nice. Looked like a perfect summertime sneaker.
You wore these? It barely looks anything.
I wore them in the house. Not outside. Okay. I was just trying them out. Like, I was just trying them to see how they look like with an outfit.
Okay.
I haven't worn them out
yet. They're super dope. I mean, what would interest me is to find out, like, what details they changed. Because, you know, with the SB4s, they changed the makeup, the materials a little bit as well to make them more durable. So that's what would interest me. And then also, like, yeah, I totally get that the sole is a bit bulky. Like, I don't skate, but I would imagine, I mean, you look at most of the pro skating models and they're relatively low profile, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think in general, dope shoe, the purple pops, you know?
Yeah. It's a sick colorway. It's a very, very nice colorway. But I was also hoping for maybe, I don't know, better packaging or something like that. Like, it's just like a standard SB box. But I mean, I'm not complaining. I really, really like the way they look. So that's and it was a relatively easy pickup. I thought these would instantly sell out because it's the first ever SB Air Max 95. But it seemed to be they're not really reselling for much. Pretty much get it going for retail. So very easy pickup. So that was one of them. Also the Jound that I spoke about too. There's another one here actually. Oh, I want to get your thoughts on this. Excuse me. I'm gonna have to take them off my feet, but. The brand new New Balance 204L, the latest model from New Balance.
The ones we talked about, right?
We talked about these, yeah. Like, these are the, I guess, the Miu Miu.
The Miu Miu Takedown, right?
The Miu Miu Takedown. They only retail for, in Europe, they retail for 140 euros. Mm-hmm. In the States, they only go for $110.
Damn.
That's cheap. I mean, if having the shoe in hand right now, like, does it look like only a $100 shoe?
No,
it feels like
with the suede, right? Yeah,
it feels way more expensive.
Like maybe the sole is not, like, I don't want to say basic, but there's no real, like, tech in the sole. That's probably where they've saved money, right?
It's just an EVA sole. So yeah, it doesn't feel anywhere near as comfy as like a 1906 or a 2002.
I mean, it's nice. Like, in hand, it looks a lot better, and I think the colors suit it too, because sure. I wasn't really sure about how, like, it is a very aggressive, it cascades into the front, you know what I mean? Especially with the sole is thicker in the back and then it drops as you go to the front, and so the shoe kind of falls forward, which I was never really sure about when I saw it online. But I mean, holding this one in hand, yeah, for sure, I dig it.
The colors are so nice too, like, especially in the fall, right? Like, in the fall, I'm going to be wearing these a lot. I think, you know, compared to the other, like, slimmer models that you would compare these with, like Adidas Sambas, mm-hmm. or some of these other models like the Puma Palermos or whatever, like, these are definitely more comfy than those shoes. Like, those shoes feel like you're just walking on a flat surface.
Yeah.
This one, there is a tiny bit of cushioning, so it is more comfy. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I was very, very happy with them. I think they look great. I think it's, like, perfect combination of, like, the two main trends going on in sneakers right now, which is, like, very slim down models,
yep,
and then at the same time, like, that Y2K style shoe.
Yeah.
And like, this shoe, I feel like the upper looks like a Y2K shoe, but, like, it's also slim.
I'm getting kind of like Y2K boho vibes a little bit, because like, the colors, the browns, the grays are a little bit boho-y, right? Yeah, like, obviously the shoe's form and profile is more Y2K, but yeah, definitely. That's a good call.
Yeah, great. That's a great pair. Another recent pickup, another pair of 95s was the Levi's 95s. And I, for the purpose of the video, I didn't really keep those pairs, but it was mainly for a YouTube video. I got all three of those colorways and I showcased them on the channel. And what did you think of that collab, the Levi's?
I thought the apparel was better than the shoes.
Really? Did you like the apparel that much? I just felt like, especially the jacket to me was such a, like, it looked like a Nike billboard pretty much. You know, walking around with that big Nike sign on your back.
Yeah, it was still pretty cool though. Like, I don't know. I thought it was cool. Like, you know, the classic Levi's trucker, and it looked kind of like what Supreme would do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice big Nike logo on the back, and like, back prints are in as well on tees, on jackets and stuff like that. Mm. I was digging it. And then the jeans, maybe a little bit less so, because having what I think it was on the pocket, right? On the front pocket.
It was just on the front left. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't like,
that was a bit weird, weird placement. I would have maybe put it on the back pocket or something like that. But in general, like the shoes, yeah, they were okay. But I feel like Levi's has done some better stuff with.
Yeah, they've done the fours a few years ago.
Yeah. Like, ages ago. Yeah, they've done better stuff with Nike, but also with New Balance.
Yes.
New Balance has done some
Well, it was like a 990 V4, I think they did.
Yes, and they did some other stuff too. I think they did a 992 or a 993 at some point. They've done a few shoes with New Balance.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they were fine. I thought the blue ones were probably the nicest ones.
Yeah.
And the white ones are clean too, but yeah. It seems like most people agree with you in terms of apparel being better, because the apparel is actually reselling for a lot of money compared to the shoes themselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And one last pickup to mention, and this is a big shout out to Asphalt Gold, who is based out of now Frankfurt. They just opened up a new store in Frankfurt, I believe.
Yep.
And the shoe was inspired by the Frankfurt airport, and this was the Salomon XT4. And I really like the shoes. Like, it's like silver, but it's got this like this detailing that I only really noticed once I had them in hand, like these kind of like
streaks, right?
Yeah, these streaks on the upper, which I don't know, I guess that was airport inspired, but I don't care where the inspiration came from. It just looks really, really great in hand. And yeah, I don't have too many silver shoes, so I was happy to get that.
Yeah, I thought they were, when I saw them, I thought they were like inspired by Remova. You know? Yeah,
no, that was part of the inspo. Okay. So like airports and luggage, like,
yeah,
because if you look at the campaign, the marketing campaign, yeah, like the models are holding the bags.
Yeah. No, cool shoe. I saw you got them as well, and I was like, oof,
nice pickup. Yeah, so those are fire. So yeah, nice. those have been my pickups. Have you picked up anything recently?
No, dude. I bought one pair of shoes for my wife for our wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
And then they ended up being too small because she's pregnant, so her feet are swollen. Yeah. And so it was too risky to like keep them to see if her feet would fit in them normally, because then I wouldn't be able to return them. So they were the Barefoot New Balance Tokyo Design Studio MT10s.
Yeah, right. The white one or the black one?
She wanted the triple black ones. She likes like all black shoes. And yeah, those are fire because they don't look like a New Balance shoe. They don't really look like a Barefoot shoe. I really like the white ones. I'm going to wait. Like, I think they've been at like a few retailers and they'll probably go on sale at some point. I'll probably pick up a white pair for myself on sale.
What's the difference between these and like those Vibram shoes, like the ones that are so just
Vibrams?
All toes?
Vibrams are also barefoot shoes. It's they just take it a step further and make it like a five finger or five toe shoes or whatever they're called.
Those are popular in Germany. I've seen seen that a ton, especially in the gym too.
That's basically a barefoot shoe. They're not necessarily for the gym, but like obviously, as you know, when you lift, right, like weightlifting shoes are hard, right, because you need like a hard surface. Some people, I myself included, just take your shoes off and I lift in my socks, right, when I'm doing like heavy Olympic lifting. Like once a year. but the barefoot shoes, they like, you still have shoes on and you can lift and don't have this like soft cushioning basically.
Okay. Yeah. My go-to shoe for like deadlifts and everything is actually Jordan 1s.
Yeah, because they're just flat. They're flat and they're relatively hard. They're not super cushioned. Yeah. I mean, Chucks, a lot of people wear Chucks as well. Yeah, true. Vans. True.
Chucks is good.
Vans too. Yeah. It's just any shoe from like the 60s, 70s, 80s that didn't pre this like VizTech cushioning craze. Those are also good.
Yeah. All right, let's move into our big topic. So we spoke about it briefly at the top, but it's mainly about, I would say, the death of like hype sneaker culture, and whether or not that's been a good thing or a bad thing for the culture, and where the culture is at right now. So we've been noticing a few things. One of the first things that I would say is there's definitely been kind of like a fall of the main character type of sneaker, meaning like you go that week on Instagram and it's the one sneaker that everyone's talking about. People are lining up at the stores for that one sneaker. It dominates basically the conversation on sneaker YouTube for that entire month. It's like, I would say like some examples of that, taking it back, would be like the Sakai Vapor Waffles. Not just the Vapor Waffles, the LD Waffles, when they came out, everyone was talking about them. Of course, like the Off-White, the 10, like that's an obvious one. Even Travis Scott shoes to a certain extent early on. Like now I feel like they just come and go and people just kind of don't talk about them that much. But yeah, there always seemed to be like this one sneaker that everyone in the culture wanted when they dropped. And it would just dominate conversations. Whereas now I feel like you don't get these like iconic drops anymore. They don't seem to exist as much. People's maybe their behavior has changed, and that like kind of hype that really builds up before release, and then the release happens, I don't see that as much anymore. Like now, I feel like there's been a shrinking influence of one iconic sneaker that seems to have changed, and now we have like many happening at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that the catalyst for this conversation was also a Highsnobiety article, right? Where they talked about the the literal death of hype, and it's a topic that we've discussed multiple times. It's been discussed in on social media by many people within the industry, community, culture, etc. And I would say, yeah, for sure, I agree with the observation that there are less clear shoes of the year.
Yeah.
Right? I would put it like that. But I would go a step further and say that we've just returned to the status quo pre-hype explosion. Because
which was pre what? Like 2017?
I'd say like 2016, 2017. 2017 okay. For me is like, and it feels weird because like I wouldn't consider myself an old head, right? I've been into sneakers. I've been working within fashion and sneakers now for 10 years almost. Mm-hmm. And before that, I was into shoes and into sneakers. So like, let's say like around about 13 or so years that I've been into this kind of stuff. But there's people who've been like writing about shoes, talking about shoes, whatever, since like the 90s, right? Like people like, so there's a time way, way, way before 2017 where there was still sneaker culture. There were sneaker heads. There were people following hype drops. And obviously before the age of social media, and this has also been talked about a lot, it was very difficult to get like geographically locked shoes, right? And now like social media has made it a lot easier. You know, you're in cook groups and stuff like that where you're talking to people around the world and they're like, oh bro, like this dropped early in Japan, and then boom, you buy it. And you know, I'd say the barriers to entry are a lot lower nowadays. And so we had this like era from 2017 to about like 21, 22, I would say, where every single year there was a very, very clear shoe of the year. And there were maybe, because I disagree with the article, the Highsnobiety article said every year there was one shoe. There was not one shoe. Maybe there were like five shoes were like way above the rest. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can call them like tier zero releases or elite tier releases. That was like the Chunky Dunkies.
Sure.
You know, that kind of stuff.
The Travis Scott SBs.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, anything that Travis Scott did, reverse swoosh in the beginning, right? Like for those, 5 years, there were just a handful of like elite tier releases. And now we've gone to maybe no elite tier releases, right? I think that's the observation. There's still good releases. There's still stuff that sells out. There's still stuff that resells, but not for 500%. Maybe it resells for 120% of retail or 150% or something like that, right? You're not reselling anything that you bought for 150 euros for 1,000 euros. You might be selling it for 220. Or something like that. You know what I mean?
But I guess the question is that happening because there's no more sneakers releasing that are worthy of being called a tier zero type release? Or is it because customers nowadays don't all just gravitate towards certain sneakers? They're not as driven by like media telling you that these are like the best sneakers of the year. They have very varied preferences.
I think it's a mixture, right? I think it's a good question. I think one big thing is any subculture is a bit of an echo chamber, right? Yeah. Where there's echo chambers within the subculture, multiple. Right. And one big echo chamber has been in the media for the last 2 years or 3 years. Oh, there's no clear trend. Oh, there's no clear winner. Oh, there's stuff sitting. How great is that? Which it is, right? We've been part of that echo chamber. But I think hearing that over and over and over again then makes consumers think, there are no elite tier releases anymore, and they treat releases more fairly, I guess. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, there's more brands involved, which is what the article goes into as well. You've got Hoka on La Sportiva in addition to Salomon, Asics, whatever. You have Crocs, for example. You have, trying to think here, but like, all these brands that before were very, very minor players are now like mid-major players, I would say, right? You still have your Mount Rushmore of like Nike, Adidas, if you want to count Jordan Brand as separate, Jordan Brand and New Balance, let's just say, right? But because there's more competition, then it kind of democratizes it a little bit. And then it's also because of this echo chamber, the more competition, it's all interconnected. People realizing, I don't need to buy what everyone else is buying. I can buy what I like, right? Mm-hmm. And so then consumer behavior changes a little bit and people are really acting on maybe what their true tastes preferences are.
Yeah.
Because previously, and I caught myself multiple times just getting caught up in the hype, right? And obviously it still happens now and then this year and in the last couple of years. But I mean, it was a lot more like, oh, Nike Virgil Abloh, the 10 is dropping. I need all of them.
Yeah.
Did exactly. I even like all of them? No, you know?
Yeah, no, some of them, you know, looking back at them, some of them were objectively pretty trash.
Yeah.
Like, not the like first the, 10, I'm talking about the ones that came
afterwards. The VaporMaxes and all that kind of stuff.
What was that other one that had like all the spikes at the bottom?
Yeah, the Air Force One, right?
The Air Force ones were not good.
Like the mids or highs or whatever.
And then there was that like running one that had a huge, it was like blue at the top and it had this yellow swoosh and this weird... it was
like a waffle trainer or whatever.
Yeah, like but not all of them were good.
That's my point, right? Like where when there's less choice, because there was less hype choice back then, there's less big players, all the media and influencers and creators and whatever are talking about a very concentrated number of releases, then it's obviously going to be those releases that are held above everything else and wanted by everyone, right? But and this shows, in my opinion, also like a big role that the media plays in hyping things up or bringing things down,
because
you have High Symbiote, Complex, whatever, people at Complex saying, yo, I think it's dope that I can walk into a store and buy a pair of Sauconys and that J-Tips is doing dope shit with Saucony, but that I can also like buy, you know, that Air Jordan 1 or whatever, and that stuff is not selling out. And then people hear this and see this and they're like, ah, shit. So they're getting, I would say like, the influencing is still happening, but in a very different way. Instead of being influenced towards hype and very limited releases, people are being influenced to enjoy the fact that stuff is available, you know? And then last point is that brands have just gone crazy with their stock levels, right? Because they're cashing in at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's very rare now that you get like a Pata Nike release or Para Nike Air Max 1 or whatever it is that's like limited to 1,000 or 5,000 worldwide, right? Like a lot of stuff is just bigger. You see that in the stock level. You see it in the resale prices because in the end, resale is all just supply and demand, right?
For sure.
And supply has gone up. Demand has gone up in the sense that demand overall for sneakers has gone up. More and more people want sneakers and are buying sneakers at a higher pace. But there's more choice. So then demand for that one sneaker has maybe flatlined, I would say. It hasn't gone down. It's flatlined. And then as supply goes up, then obviously the price will come down.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think, you're talking about like media and sneaker media and how that has always driven the conversation before. And it had a lot of eyeballs on it, right? Like I'm also, I would say, part of that, like my channel is like sneaker media, I would say, right?
Yeah, like non-traditional media, but you're an influencer in a way. Like I hate that word influencer. I would say you're a creative, content creator.
Yeah. But I think with what's happening now, and this is also reflected in the numbers, right? Like there's a lot less people now watching YouTube videos about sneakers or even like consuming a lot of Instagram sneaker content. And that's because, like you said, like people at some point realized, okay, I don't need to watch these guys and for them to tell me like what the best sneakers are because I can decide for myself and which is great. And now I think more than ever in the content space, speaking specifically, I think personal taste has gotten just to be the most important thing in this space. So I know for me now, like when I'm making content, I don't even care anymore about like what's the most hype type of content I should be making. I'm just making content about stuff I like, you know, like shoes that I like that dropped that week. I really like this shoe. I'm going to make content on it. You might have noticed my channel, you know, definitely tends to be much more covering sneakers that you won't really see on like more of the mainstream sneaker publications. And that's because like that's just what I like. And my taste has changed too. I'm not so driven by what the hype cycle is about.
Yeah, like 3 years ago, if you look at your content 3 years ago versus now, right? And neither is right or wrong or better or worse. It's just evolved. Like I would say 3 years ago, you, and maybe you would agree with this, you were getting, like you were making sure that you got the biggest two or three releases every week.
Sometimes I would pay to get them early just to make a video on it and like capitalize on all the views and all that, right?
And now your viewers are maybe more people that align with your taste because people want to know, what does Josh think, right? What does Josh think about this shoe or this release or how to style it or this city or whatever, because they align with your taste. And I think that's the shift that we've seen, that people are consuming content in a different way and holding the content creators accountable in a way where it's like, no, I don't want to just see everything. I want to see, what do you specialize? What's your niche? And if it aligns with me, then I'm going to be like an avid watcher and follower of your content.
Yeah, and this has now translated to what they're actually spending their money on, you know, like it's become very like, I'm gonna just buy stuff that I like right now, not that most hype sneaker right now. You know, like looking back at when this whole like scene changed from like being very main character sneaker driven to more of what it is now, like I kind of take it back to the pandemic changed everyone's behavior. And we've totally shitted on this shoe a lot in the past. Every sneaker publication has, but I'm going to bring up the Panda Dunks, right? Like I think the Panda Dunks to me was the turning point of when this behavior changed, because it was still a very hype driven sneaker economy back then. And that is why everyone back then really, really wanted the Panda Dunks.
Yeah.
Everyone is wearing Panda Dunks. Everyone is wearing every different type of Dunk colorway. Let's just profit as much as possible with this. So like they released like every single week a new Dunk colorway. And I feel like that was like the last straw. Like people had enough of it. If you looked outside, everyone was wearing Panda Dunks. Everyone was wearing just nothing but Dunks. There was no variety at all in sneakers. And it's almost like people just wanted to, you know, kind of rebel against like what the sneaker culture was at the time, which is everyone wearing the same shoe.
Well, and also like, how many times did the Zebra 350?
Yeah, that too, of course. Yeah,
restock. You know what I mean?
We're just blaming the Dunks, but I think the Zebra like, thing was the start of it.
I think brands always watch out for the bottom line. They don't care. You know, like they're always gonna do what's best for them, mid, short, long term. And there it was. Nike probably knew at some point the market's getting a little bit saturated. It's gonna be harder to just get banger after banger of a release, so let's cash in on the Dunk. And that's what they did, and they killed the Dunk for a little bit. Now SB has done a really good job in bringing back the Dunk with some like limited releases, you know, not doing too much, which has been good to see.
But definitely Adidas too was
with the Zebra Dunk. And what I want to say there is that it's pretty hilarious to me because the community was playing along in a way. Like you looked at StockX and for a while you would have like, oh, you could buy the Panda Dunk from like 2018, but the Panda Dunk from 2020 restock, or like the Zebra 350s. And they would have like every single release would be its own SKU and own thing, as if the Zebra release from 2019 was more valuable and better quality and better to have than the 2021 one. It's all coming from the same factory. It's probably all like the same lot of production, and StockX and other like and people in the community were like, it's hard to wear mine, but you know, mine were the originals. It's like, bro, it's the same fucking shoe, just that now they've cashed in on it and everybody has it. Tough luck, you know. Like, why would you ever go to StockX and pay let's say $400 for the OG Zebras when you can get the other ones for $180 or, you know, whatever it was?
Bro, one step worse than that, StockX people were paying $1,000 plus for a Panda Dunk NFT, bro.
Yeah.
Like StockX started doing Panda Dunk NFTs, like which is giving people the right to buy a Panda Dunk. Like what was going on? Like that was, to me, that was like the peak or like the turning point, man. Like that's when like everything changed. The pandemic, I think, definitely switched a lot of people's behavior, and people started gravitating more towards like, how do I express my own personal style? Because right now all I see outside is like 350s and Panda Dunks, and I've had enough of that. I am my own person.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start like, and that's when I think I really started to notice like sneaker culture started to get democratized a little bit. There was a lot more diversity. And there wasn't like so much. I feel like also when you think about like collabs back then, it was a big deal. And it was like very hyped when like there were celebrity collabs. Mm. And I feel like now celebrities, first of all, this is like part of the whole like pop culture thing. I feel like celebrities nowadays are less relevant than ever, right? Because anyone can become a celebrity. Technically, just go on your phone and you can become a TikTok creator and you're a celebrity.
I think an interesting article, which I'm too busy and lazy to write myself, but an interesting article would be like looking at the collaboration and how that evolved over the years. In the beginning, the collaboration was between retailer and brand, right? I think the very, very, very first collaboration ever was Stussy Nike. Right.
And really, then was it the first one ever?
Pretty sure.
Okay.
Pretty sure. I remember writing about this. Stussy Nike. Then, you know, you've got retailers, like a boom in retailer X brand. You've got End with Saucony. You've got End doing a million collaborations. You've got Beeston. You've got Soulbox in Germany. Everybody's doing collaboration. Actually, sorry, I need to go back further. Actually, the first collaboration is the athlete brand collaboration. Michael Jordan, Air Jordan. Sure, yeah. Like, not collaboration in that sense, but like
it's technically co-sign, a collab, right? Yeah.
You've got that. Then come the retailers, right? In the, what was it? Early 2000s, I think it was. Then come the celebrities, right? The musicians, the artists, the whatever, the Travis Scotts, the Kanye Wests, the Jay-Z's, the 50 Cent's, the, you know, whatever. And now what is it now? Creative collections, creatives, Jound, right? Like what is Jound? Who is Jound? Justin Saunders. Like, yeah, it goes more to like the creatives, but that still is like picking up steam, I think. And what would be interesting to look at is like, what's next? Like, who do brands collaborate with after that? What is even left to collaborate with? Is the collab, like, to be like facetious, coming to an end? Like, is the relevance of the collab coming to an end? Because it's only relevant as long as it's fresh and new and different, you know what I mean? And sure, you could get the next Travis Scott, you could get the next Jound, you could get the next Virgil Abloh, you can get the next Kanye West to do something different colors, different material, different shapes, different sizes, whatever. But like, at some point, like the only value of the collab is that it's special. And if everything's been done, is it special anymore?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I feel like that could even be an episode on its own. I don't know.
Maybe we'll earmark that one for a future one. Another observation I've noticed is that in the past, there was always like a type of sneaker that was really, really popular at the time. Like, for example, when people were wearing basketball shoes with their skinny jeans.
Yeah.
Or
LeBrons and
Kobe's. Or like, of course, like the Yeezy 350. Everyone was only wearing 350s for a certain time. I mentioned Dunks already.
Yep.
But now it's like, every type of sneaker is popular right now.
Yeah, you've got ballets, you've got
Then you have the profile, Y2K running shoes, right?
Y2K, VizTech.
You have the dressy sneakers now are a thing. Sneaker loafers are a thing. Salomon's, like the more techie type of sneakers trail are into. Running,
yeah, like there's, outdoors.
Yeah, there's no currently like a type of sneaker in the fashion space that's like, this is the most popular shoe right now.
Yeah.
Only chunky shoes are popular right now. Only, you know, and like now it's like every kind is popular at the same time.
Because even before it was like, okay, chunky shoes, everyone had their own version of a chunky shoe.
Exactly, yeah.
And now it's like, I think low profile was the closest we got, you know, like the terrorist kind of culture, because then everyone's like, shit, we need to get on this low profile thing. And did on both sides, right? Sportswear and in the luxury fashion industry. But even then, it was like, there was also other stuff that was popping and cool and being sold really, really well. Yeah, I mean, it all goes hand in hand with one another, right? Like tastes, also outputs, trends themselves.
And even like flip-flops are popular right now. Have you noticed this trend?
No.
Bro, like all these dudes, these fashion bros, like now they got the skinny shirt on with the baggy jeans and flip-flops. And I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I'm sorry. Like, this trend needs to go. Yeah. We don't need to see your toes, man. We do not. I've been seeing that a lot. Like, even in Berlin, like dudes, like these fashion bros with their toes out, with the dogs out.
With the like, dogs out,
bro. Like, we don't need to see that.
I'm still trying to make air rifts happen. You know, the split toe air rifts.
I'd rather see that than the flip flops.
Everyone just walk around in camel toes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and another point that we've kind of discussed as well, like, so trends not being as uniform and unilateral, but also, and we've talked about this already today, brands, right? Like,
yes.
And a big one is Nike's quote unquote downfall, right? It hasn't really been a downfall. It's been more of a slowdown and a catch up by the others, right?
It's safe to say they're no longer the dominant force in the culture, right?
Yeah, I think there's a difference between like, it depends on how you define it, right? Because dominant, they are dominant when it comes to revenue and stock levels that they move and what do you call it? Shelf space in major stores, right? Like if you go into Soulbox, it's like 50%.
Yeah.
But yes, in terms of like cultural relevance, they're not the most dominant anymore and haven't been in the last couple of years. New Balance, Asics, some other brands.
There's a lot more niche communities now, right?
Yeah.
You got these like, for example, like the running community has gotten really big recently and On has really capitalized on that.
On's presence on social media, especially like the best ads I see on TikTok are On ads.
Yeah, yeah.
They're so good.
Yeah, like, Nike is nowhere to be seen in these.
Nike's still doing this like really like hyper production kind of like stuff and On and everyone else on TikTok's just like, they're just getting people to do real content and then they slap product on them and say that it's sponsored and that works on TikTok. You know?
Adidas too has done a really good job recently with the Evo.
Evo SL has been
so popular.
I've seen that I've seen them so much now also in Berlin and like not in like sports outfits, like in fashion outfits. And
we talked about this in our last episode, right? If we want to talk about like the sneaker that let's say has been in our eyes at least the most successful one this year, it's probably the Evo SL, right?
In terms of like marketing presence online, also like now adoption, now that more and more colorways are coming out, I see it at work too. We're getting a lot of them as well.
But going back to your point, I agree. Like there's also no more brand dominance.
Yeah.
Right. People are wearing brands that they would never think to wear before. Like Asics, I would say. Like Asics of course had like a sneaker like niche subculture, but now Asics has gotten so popular in the States, you know, where people who previously just wore, you know, Jordan 5s, Jordan 1s, now they're wearing like Gelcano 14s.
Yeah.
Whereas like just a few years ago, they would never, ever see themselves in a pair of Gelcano 14s, right? So that's people's preferences are changing, brand preferences are changing. And it's all these factors are really contributing to what we're seeing right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, let's see how it keeps developing. I think that's also another interesting point. Like, will brands try and bring it back to how it was before? Are brands happy with the way it is now? Because
that's what I wanted to talk about right now, right? Like, how, like, as a sneaker brand right now, if I was a new sneaker brand starting off right now, I would probably try to, you know, niche down a little bit and just focus on niches. But if I'm an existing sneaker brand, like a huge giant like Nike, right? Like, what can you even do right now to adapt to how fragmented like consumer preferences are right now?
Yeah, you probably can't do much as a brand. I think it, like you said, it really depends. If you're a new brand, if you're a challenger brand or an underdog brand like Hoka or whatever, Norda, you're super happy with the way it is right now.
Of course, yeah.
Because you know that almost by being small and niche, people might like you more because you're different and other people don't wear you, right? Retailers, buyers at stores will be like, ooh, you know what? I'm going to pick up like your collection here because I've never seen it before, but it's dope. And people might think that makes my store special, right? Mm-hmm. I think if you're a big brand, you are 50-50 about it. You're probably a little bit annoyed that like all of your competitors have not caught up completely to you, but are definitely gaining on you. But you are happy that sneaker culture and the industry as a whole has just exploded in size. Mm-hmm. That like, yeah. And so the fact that it's gotten so much bigger means that you have a wider net of potential customers, right? So you can increase your stock levels and you don't care if things are maybe sitting a little bit longer than they were before, you are still making more money. And that's evidenced by Adidas having a great year, Nike, they're all still making profit and they're all growing, right? Maybe they're not growing as fast as they would have liked to or as fast as they were 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But like, yeah, that's just the way it is. It's a more saturated market. The industry is a lot more competitive at the moment. And at some point you hit a ceiling and you can't have double digit growth anymore. You might be growing by 5, 6, 7%. You're not going to be growing by 15 or 17% anymore, but you're still growing. You're still making money. You're still making profit year on year. And I think Nike, Adidas, the big players will be happy with that. I think what happens if they stop growing, if they get smaller, if they stop making profit, then they will be unhappy. But right now I think everybody's happy.
Yeah, and also going back to something we said earlier about how right now taste is more important than ever, and people really want to feel connected to a brand. I think a lot of brands, bigger brands now, need to lean more into storytelling. I think that really resonates with people on a personal level.
Yeah,
that needs to come back a bit. You know, like that's why, like, I think people have gotten so tired, for example, with like the whole Travis Scott Nike thing. He's just, you know, putting reverse swooshes on different models, and it's just, okay, it just seems like a cash grab at this point, right? We've talked about this, but Nike also, and we don't mean to just, you know, bash Nike here, but I mean, like, a lot of brands, I feel like, you know, you need to tie your sneakers to some kind of identity, some kind of culture, and not just do a simple celebrity endorsement anymore. Like, that doesn't seem to really work. I think New Balance, for example, does a really good job with this, you know, like with the, especially with the Joe Fresh collabs. He's like storytelling, he's amazing at it. Yeah, some brands do it better than others, but yeah, that's I think one way they can maybe navigate current sneaker climate. And also not rely so much on just hype releases. You got to still mix in that a little bit, right? I actually think what Nike has done this year is very good. Like, I'm someone, as a sneaker collector, you have to objectively look at all the sneakers that Nike released this year and think, wow, this might have even been one of the best years ever if you love sneakers. You know, like, if you told me 5 years ago that I would be able to get Shattered Backboard Ones, Undefeated Fours, what else? The White Cement Fours, all these like Nike models that dropped this year that were so easy to get. If you told me that 5 years ago that I could get all of them and spend less than $1,000, like, I would be like, what are you talking about? That, yeah. Like, what make believe world are you in, right? Like, so I think from like a sneakerhead point of view, you gotta love what Nike kind of did this year. Yeah, I feel like and Nike is kind of having a bounce back. You know, their stock price is kind of on the way up too. But yeah, that's kind of, I guess, how some sneaker brands can navigate today. Is there anything more we want to say on this topic?
I mean, just speaking about personal taste, I would maybe question for our listeners, right? Like, yes. is there a pair in your rotation that you feel defies hype, but kind of goes perfectly with who your you are? Taste. Yeah, your personal taste. Yeah, I think it's just an interesting thing to think about, and maybe I'll take a moment to think about. I mean, for me, it's pretty obvious because I have a lot of shoes that are just different to everyone else. But, and my shoes are all over the place, right? But maybe some of you guys listening or even watching on Spotify and YouTube are very much into a specific type of shoe and have this one special shoe that's just not super hype, but you just like it, man. So yeah, let us know in the comments.
Leave that in the comments. I can tell you one for me. And I haven't bought a pair of Jordan 1s in a long time, but I am definitely going to buy the Shattered Backboard 1s as soon as I find them on sale for a good price. And it's not for the reasons that you guys think. You know, a lot of people associate this shoe with like one of the most hyped Jordan shoes of all time. For me, it's been one of my top five favorite colorways ever.
That's a good colorway.
But the main reason why is because it's the exact same colors as my favorite football team. If you guys have known me for a long time, I'm a hardcore Cincinnati Bengals fan in the NFL. And the reason why I love the Shattered Backboard so much is because it's the Cincinnati Bengals colors, right? It's the orange, black, and a bit of white in there. So I've always wanted that shoe to be like, yeah, man, like when the Bengals win, I'm going to rock them, you know? And
so you're never wearing them.
Oh, come on, man. Come on, bro. They're good, man. They're going to have a good season. So yeah, that's actually why I want to get it, because it fits in with like my fandom, you know, like it's not for any reason that you would normally think. So yeah, leave a comment, guys. I want to hear what shoe in your collection right now reflects your personal taste, and it defies hype. Manchester United Adidas Gazelle dropping. Thanks. No thanks?
Nah, dude. I don't like these football club Adidas shoes. They're just all so basic. And I don't want to run around with a Manchester United logo on my shoes.
I agree, man. Like, I'm a fan of Real Madrid, too. And they have those Gazelles with the Real Madrid logo on the tongue. I just think it looks so lame, bro.
Yeah, no,
I agree. I'm not collecting
that. I'd rather get, like, a tracksuit top or something. Exactly. You know, or, like, a training jersey. Yeah.
We talked about this shoe earlier, the Nike GT Future. Mm. Remember we talked about that?
Yeah.
So that's dropping on August the 10th.
Nice.
So interested to see what that'll look like. Another colorway of the New Balance 204, the Timberwolf color, which is like mainly white. That's dropping in a couple weeks, August 13th. Oh, this one I'm excited about. The Pharrell Adidas Jellyfish.
Oh, yeah.
Those are dropping on August.
Expensive, though, right?
Yeah, they're retailing for $300.
Yeah, that's a pass for me. They're super cool, but...
Yeah, same, man. Like, I was so excited about these shoes, and I saw the price.
Dude, that's a 200 euro shoe max, man. Like, I'd say 160 to 180, and then you slap on extra 40 to 20 for Pharrell.
For Pharrell, yeah. I agree. And all of Pharrell's previous sneakers, too, were never retailing for more than 200.
300 is ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of insane. So for that reason, I don't see it like instantly selling out. Maybe the first colorway will. Anything else that catches my eye in the month of August? Oh, we got the Awake New York Jordan 5. So there's a pink one that should be releasing to the general public. We got the Nigel Sylvester's Air Jordan 1 Lows, the Better with Time. I don't know if you've seen this one.
No,
it's like black with a white swoosh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it looks pretty clean. Something I'm kind of interested in.
Low is interesting as well.
Yeah. There's the, a lot of people are hyped on this, the Nike Air Max 1000. Have you seen this shoe? It's like I think it's like a 3D printed shoe.
Yeah, with Zellerfeld.
Is it with Zellerfeld?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So a white and black colorway are both dropping on August the 19th. So nice. Look out for that. And I think that pretty much wraps up everything hype worthy, I would say. I mean, there's a lot of good sneakers that randomly show up, but this is what I see on the calendar right now. Let us know if there's one sneaker that you guys are interested in. But other than that, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode, probably our last summer episode for the summer.
Because unless we have a really, really hot September and October.
yeah. You have some big news happening in your personal life in the next couple of weeks.
We will be having our second child. So I will have to see how busy I am.
I know you'll be really busy.
I've heard from some people that it's absolute chaos when you have two. So let's see. But as soon as I can be back, I will be back. And we will bring some very, very dope content to you. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as we did. I really like talking shop. It's always cool when like one of these articles goes live or think pieces or whatever. And we can kind of dissect it, give our own spin on it. Agree with it, disagree with it, and just talk about it. So from me also, peace, and see you guys next time.
Peace.